Alrighty. Well, today we are in week 6 of our Fruits of the Spirit series. There's a lot of S's in that. I got tongue-tied. And we've been looking at the New Testament letters to see how they served as a guide for the early churches that were still forming when they were written, as well as for future generations of believers, including us. So the instructions and the ideas that were passed along in these letters, they should cultivate and grow in us the desire to be more like Jesus. So in this series, we've been tracing the themes of each of the fruits of the Spirit that Paul listed in Galatians 5 to see how to live as part of God's new humanity. Now, the past few weeks, Matt's been having everybody say the scripture with him, and it sounds cool, so I want to try that too. So, okay, we're going to read it together. So Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. You guys are so good. I'm not going to lie. I actually learned the fruits of the Spirit from my kids, because a couple summers ago, Christy did a study with the kids on the fruits of the Spirit, and they had it down. Like, they had them memorized, and, like, they could just, like, spout it out, and I felt ashamed. So I had to learn the order of them myself. So I can mostly get through them. I get a little tongue-tied with the, what was it, fruitfulness, gentleness, yeah. I still get a little tongue-tied with the nisses, but it's a good thing, because there's times that I know that I'm, like, in a situation, I'm just like, okay, take a minute, take a breath. Love, joy, peace. And it actually kind of helps, like the repetition. It's kind of, anyways, that's my coping mechanism. All right, and also Bob Marley. So I'm getting way off, but every little thing. Thank you. From the back of the room, hitting it strong. Thank you. All right. So why did Paul compare human qualities to fruit? So we've been showing this graphic each week, because we are the tree, and it's good to have visuals for things like this. We are the tree, and in order for us to be a tree that is producing good fruit, we have to have our roots firmly planted in the knowledge of God. This is discipleship. This is learning about God. This is growing together. This is teaching others about God. The more that we know about God, that is discipleship. We've got to have our roots in discipleship. And in order for us to grow up, we have to grow in relationship with Jesus. We grow in the direction of the Son. This is relationship. This is community. You guys see where I'm going here? This is community. This is building the family of God. This is our family by choice, growing together in the direction of the light of the world. And I was going to, I was going to make a graphic, because something kind of cool happened this week, because you guys know I like plants. So one of my friends gave me a Monstera a month or so ago, and I finally got it like repotted and stuff, because it was just in a glass jar with water, because they grow really good like that. But I wanted it in a pot. So I put it in a pot, and I sat it in a window, and, you know, I've watered it when I've remembered. And it's doing really good. Like, it looks really good. Well, earlier this past week, I noticed that there was a new little shoot, a new little stem that was starting to come out. And that thing grew from, like, this big to this big in the past week. But see, what was crazy is it grew so fast, it shot directly at the window. Now, you've got, like, the branches and stuff all pointing this way, and then you have just, like, this shoot coming off the side. And it looked so weird that I took a picture of it. And then yesterday, I looked at it again, because after I took a picture of it, I was like, well, I'm going to turn it to where that's facing away from the window, see what happens. So yesterday, I took another picture of it about the same time of day, and the thing is standing straight up. It's moving back toward the light. So I'm going to have to keep adjusting it, or it's just going to be like some wacky little stem somewhere. But I have pictures on my phone. If you guys want to talk plants afterwards, you can connect with me. So, yeah, I was going to put it on a slide. I forgot the slide. But we grow toward the light, like plants grow toward the light. That's our purpose. You have to grow up. You have to grow toward something. And what is a better thing to grow toward than Jesus? And we also have to have consistent encounter with the Spirit to keep our faith alive, which inspires generosity. You know, generosity is another word for charity or for love, grace, the way that we interact with the world, with the people around us. We have to be exposed to that so we can become like that. So just like the elements around a tree, like air and light and water, having an encounter with the Spirit, it fills us with the necessary elements to keep our faith alive and flourishing. And it's only when we have those three things that we can produce good fruit. See, we don't want our fruit to be bitter or rotten. We want to have good fruit coming from our tree. And that's what we've been learning about together in this series. So I don't want to take up a bunch of time today recapping the past, what, 6 weeks, 5 weeks? You guys can go online and listen to any that you've missed. But today I want to jump right into the fruit that we're talking about, which is faithfulness. Faithfulness is a word that you see from the beginning to the end of the Bible. We learn a lot about what it means to be faithful. But once again, we're going to look at the Hebrew word that's used for faithfulness, which is emet. And it means trustworthy, steady, firm, unchanging. See, it's that kind of concept. It's not just like doing the same thing over and over again that is faithfulness. It means being steady, being reliable. And we get an example of this in Matthew 7, verse 24. Jesus said that, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Has anyone read the series of Unfortunate Events books or watched the show or the movie? We've been reading through them this summer as a family. And I think it's the third book. There's a house that is built. There's a house that is built on the edge of a cliff. And you get a really good visual of it in the movies and the show, because it has like these, like it's literally being held by like boards that's coming out, and it's like does not look secure at all. And spoilers, it falls. It's not steady. It's not on a good foundation. See, it matters what you build on, both literally and metaphorically. It has to be steady. It has to be sturdy. It has to be firm. And it has to be consistent. So I have a question. I'm going to be really surprised if somebody gets this. What does an apple and the orbit of planets have in common? Emily. Okay, yeah, they're round. What else do they have in common? They have a core. You put a pin in that. Gravity. They have gravity in common. See, there's a few things in life that are as consistent as the law of gravity. It was discovered by Sir Isaac Newton around 1665. And legend has it that he formulated the gravitational theory after watching an apple fall straight down and asking the question, why? See, he showed that the force that that makes the apple fall and the same force that holds us to the ground is the same force that keeps the moon and the planets in orbit. And that discovery laid the groundwork for space travel. And it started with an apple, in theory. See, the way that gravity works is consistent, regardless if it's a small thing like an apple or it's a big thing like a planet. So apples are our fruit today. Apples are actually my favorite fruit. It's not the one that I'm always going to pick all the time. But see, what I love about apples is they're like the potato of fruits. And potatoes are my favorite vegetable. It's because they're versatile. What can't you do with an apple? Like, they are consistently good no matter how they're prepared. You can just bite into one, and it's juicy, and it's either sweet or a little tart. Like, it's like, They are faithfully good. See, there is no shortage of scripture that's talking about the faithfulness of God. See, Paul wrote, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, God's faithfulness is shown to all of humanity in the person of Jesus. And we can agree that God's faithfulness is proven throughout time. See, his character, it remains steady despite the unfaithfulness of people. His faithfulness is not determined on our faithfulness. Thank goodness. But then through Jesus, we were shown that God's level of faithfulness could be possible in human form. Think about that. Jesus was sent here as our example to show us what humanity was actually capable of being. It goes back to that line in a hymn. I can't even remember what the hymn is called, actually. But on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I think that's right. Yeah, that sounds right. See, the faithfulness of Jesus is not dependent on our faithfulness. However, we are called to live a life that produces the fruit of faithfulness. How do we do that? See, Paul wrote to his co-worker Timothy, and Timothy was struggling to continue the work of sharing the good news because he was afraid. See, there was a lot of persecution happening. Paul was in prison, and he was scared because his mentor was in prison, and he's out here on his own now, and he's doing the good work, but he's scared. He's only human. See, Paul encouraged him to stay the course, and he reminded him that God is faithful, therefore we should be faithful. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 11, he said, here is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. I need to put that on a wall somewhere. See, it is so easy to lose sight of the mission. It is our human nature to try to do things our own way within our own power. Our personal preferences or opinions, they can get in the way of the bigger picture. And that's why we have so many denominations in Christianity. Personal preference, comfort, style. Think about it. See, we should all be sharing the exact same goal. The goal is to share the gospel, to build the kingdom on earth. But we live in a time where it's the flashy and the entertaining that pulls in the crowds and is credited with having a monumental impact on the kingdom. But what happens when the heart of a leader in such a widely followed ministry is found to be unfaithful? What happens to the people that are under their direction, that are trusting their discipleship, when the foundation that they built their faith on shifts and crumbles? And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, there are shows, there are podcasts. Listen to the podcast series, The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. You'll get a pretty good example. See, it's just human nature to be drawn to a certain style of teaching or a certain way of doing things. There's people that we're going to get along with better, or we're going to enjoy listening to more because they're more engaging or entertaining. See, even in the first 100 years of the church, Paul faced this issue. But he called it out clearly for what it was. And he encouraged the church in Corinth to check the foundation of what they were building their faith on. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul wrote, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere human beings?" See, what was happening here is Jesus came and everyone followed Jesus, but then there were these apostles, these teachers, these pastors that were going around and evangelizing, that were sharing the good news, and they all had their different purpose and they all had their different style. For example, Peter or Cephas, he was called to be a pastor to the Jews that were converting to this new belief system. Paul was called to the Gentiles to bring people in, to graft them into the family. So they all had their different ways of teaching. And of course, with human nature, groups of people started following different leaders. And what happened? They started my teacher's better than your teacher. My pastor's cooler. My pastor actually spent more time fixing their hair this morning than writing a message. It's all about preference. And Paul's calling it out. He calls them children that aren't ready for anything but milk. And he continues. He says, "What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task." We all have our different purpose. We all have our different thing that God gave us to do. Don't overthink it. Don't put too much stock into each one of us. He says, "I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God has been making it grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service, and you are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. Does anyone think that maybe the three little pigs might have been based on that right there? That just hit me. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. It's like when the wolf comes a-blowing. What's left standing? Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is of God. Sometimes I wonder if, like, his quill or whatever he was writing with, like, was just, like, shaking when he wrote it. Because you can feel the intenseness of what he is saying. He is calling out human nature. He is uprooting the bitterness, the rivalry, the deceit. And he is encouraging them to build on one solid, faithful foundation. The only reliable, steady, firm, solid, lasting foundation that you can and should build your faith on is Jesus. The same words that he wrote thousands of years ago are still just as relevant today. Do not try to build on me or Matt or any TV evangelist, or is that still a thing? Or like any leader, any worship group, any mega church. Do not build your faith on anyone but Jesus. See, we're over here with our own set of crumbly bricks and our watered down mortar just trying to build something that's solid and lasting. We can't support you too. We're not made to be the foundation. We are made to come together and be the building. See, you can be inspired by people. You can learn from people. You can be touched by the lyrics of a song that a person wrote. But you cannot build on people. So we're going to end today a little bit different. We are going to end today with songs of declaration. Because sometimes it's hard to come up with the words yourself. But we are very blessed that there are people that are inspiring, that are inspired by the Spirit, that can write things in a way that can get stuck in your head and stay there day after day, that can share a message, that can encourage you to stand up and take a stand and declare that my faith, my life, will be built on nothing but Jesus. So I'm going to have the band go ahead and come back up and get ready. Now, I'm not telling you that if you build your life on Jesus, that there will never be a time that you experience storms. In fact, I guarantee it's going to happen sooner or later. Storms are going to come in life, whether you're built on Jesus or you're built on people or you're built on yourself. You're going to experience hardships in this life because we live in a broken world. See, some days it's going to feel like everything around you is shaking, that the very ground that you're standing on is shifting. But if you have built your life on the firm foundation of Jesus, then you can withstand the storms. You can have peace in the middle of all the shaking because you know that you are held steady in God's love. See, we are not left to build our lives on our own strength because we can't do it. But we can depend on God's faithfulness. See, we show the fruit of faithfulness when we intentionally build our lives brick by brick on Him. So if you can, please stand. And if not, just sing along and make a decision to boldly declare that you will work to build your life on the foundation of God's faithfulness. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ.